All right. You obviously, having done all this collective work with channeling, must have some details about what happens to people on the other side who commit suicide. What kind of detailed information do you have?
Well, there's a commonality to anybody who dies. After you die, there are certain experiences that you have, and we outline those categorically in the book. If you happen to have killed yourself to get over there to the other side, there can be, let's say you were an atheist who didn't expect anything on the other side, or expected only certain kinds of, you know, Old Testament kind of a thing, or Quran thing, then there's a kind of a create your own reality for a while. At least your beliefs will carry over there, and you'll kind of tune to that possible scenario for a while. But sooner or later, you know, the larger reality, the larger transphysical reality will set in, and you'll be sort of taught. There are teachers there, there are spirit guides there, as there are here, according to all this material. But you tend to have a life review. You tend to look back on your life. You're given choices. Do you want to maybe come back and try some of this again with a kind of a veiling, an amnesic veiling, so that you're not going to know it all when you come back in, but you're going to be faced with some of the same things again. And maybe the next choice point, you won't take your own life, or you won't kill somebody else that time around. What we haven't mentioned here is karma. I mean, karma, I deal quite a bit in karma. My co-author, Pamela Heath, and I deal with karma quite a bit, because karma is another way of looking at the repercussions of your acts and how you're judged, do you judge yourself, or does the universe do it, or God, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I believe in karma. I believe there's evidence for karma. And it's certainly a thread in the suicide aspect that you're given an opportunity to reflect on what you did and to make restitution in a way. I worked with a dissertation with a student once on the area of reparative or restorative justice, which is a fairly new movement. Rather than just punishing someone, throwing them into prison, whatever, you make them face their victim. They have to face their victim, and they have to make restitution of some kind. They actually have to pay back in some kind of way, live with the results of what they did. This is a good analogy for suicide and for the suicide bombers as well, I think. And that seems to be a theme we're getting, that the karma of it is you must deal with the repercussions of that act. You don't get off easy, you just get snuffed. You don't have to not deal with it. And in a sense, that the empathy, the golden rule of it, on down the line, is part of how the universe seems to work in a spiritual manner, that you will set to right the wrongs that you had done, and you have an opportunity to do that. So the caller in from the biblical frame of reference, I believe, was right. But I believe that goes for the suicide, too. Suicides can be very sad situations. Often they communicate back through a medium or channel to try to tell the story of why they killed themselves. They didn't really want to hurt you or punish you, but by taking themselves out of your life, it was just too painful, or that it was a mistake, perhaps. They didn't mean to kill themselves. So they want to get the story back to you. Please, can I have one opportunity to make one call back, not from prison, but from the afterlife, back to the earth side, because suicide is so unsettling once you've done it, that you want to do something about what you've done, in a sense.
Again, if I can press you for any details, I know that in channeling sessions, Doctor, I mean, fairly specific details are given. So what do we know about the channeling of suicides? What have they said about their role on the other side? Any specifics at all you can give me versus those who have not committed suicide?
Well, most of the spirits that we seem to have connected to in these seances done purposely for the purposes of the book that Dr. Heath set up at her home mostly, it was so soon. It's been so soon since the experience, since the death, that there's still a certain bewilderment, a certain unsettledness, a certain lack of match between what they expected and what they're finding there. And so there's it's a lot of unfinished business, kind of a muddled story, confusion. One of the sources we did seem to get in touch with was two of the Chechen women who got on the planes with bombs. Were they blew up planes? Remember that?
Yes.
And they were quite specific about a certain kind of an anger that they had about how the male leaders in the kind of in the patriarchy of that there in Iraq had I think it was in Iraq had sort of propagandized them to do it, and it's their duty, and it's their duty, and so on, and that they did take their own lives, and then after they did, they had really, shall we say, mixed feelings about the fact that it cost them their life to go along with the party line, so to speak.
And what really what prompted you? What prompted you, doctor, to do so much research into people who had taken their own lives and others, as in bombers, that kind of thing.
The suicide bomber thing is a current event thing. If we could affect that deep fabric of why so many Islamic fundamentalists are willing to take their own lives in the name of a holy jihad, a holy war, where it does supposedly give you a loophole as a Muslim to take your own life and to take others' lives. And all the Muslim scholars we studied and interviewed said, no, that's not true. If you really look at the sources, Islam does not say that. You never have a loophole to kill yourself or to kill someone else. It's a big, big no-no. But they still, in the name of jihad, do that. And so we wanted to kind of do what we could to counter or to put some food for thought out there to the world and to the Middle Eastern world in light of that. So that's the reason that part is in there. But the suicide part in general, the reason for the book, and this is very quickly, was that I had a psychologist come referred to me who was going to kill herself. She said, I'm contemplating suicide. I'm a Jewish atheist. I'm a psychologist like you are, about my same age. And she said, before I kill myself, though, I want to talk to you about what's going to happen after you die, especially given that I'm going to be killing myself. I'm not sort of going to believe you or anything, but I'd like to talk to you about it. We ended up talking for 6 months every week. And the first thing I did before the first and the second visit of hers, I went to my own library and pulled out a bunch of things and just made some photocopies of sources that claimed to be suicides, communicating from the other side, talking about the repercussions of their act and why you don't really escape anything. There's no easy out. There is something like karma. Do try to stick with it on the earth plane if you at all can. There is a larger spiritual reality, but there are negative repercussions to your acts if you do kill yourself or kill someone else and so on. And I got some of these together and gave it to her next week. It's called bibliotherapy, where you have somebody read something and then you discuss it, kind of focus them. And I mentioned that to Pam Heath, who was a doctoral student of mine at the time, and she kind of parked that in her thought. And about a couple of years later, she came to me. She said, remember that story you told me in class about that client that came to you? And she said, I've already been gathering some information on that. And that became the beginning of the book. In other words, the book is sort of like a book-length bibliotherapy of readings from the other side, like I did the little mini, seat-of-the-pants one for that psychologist. By the way, I don't know whether what I did helped her or not, or whether she killed herself or not, because after 6 months, her mother had serious cancer, and she had to go take care of her mother, which is kind of a cosmic joke or something. She had to turn her attention from her own doing herself in to take care of her mother. That's the universe sort of at work, I would say.